Our gospel today is from the 28th chapter of Matthew's gospel, beginning with verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Being on a team means you are part of the team. You get to uniform, you get to run out of the locker room with the team, you get to identify with the team, and even if you're not one of the starters, you get to cheer on your team, encourage your team, go in when you're called for. And there's a great joy in being on a team. Today, here it comes, Aaron. Aaron? This is what it's like to be on a team. I'm ready to play, right? Great song. Now, Jesus saves us and makes us part of his team. His most famous sermon, which is the Sermon on the Mount, which is recorded in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7, is he calls his disciples to be salt of the earth. He says, "You are salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but it's thrown out and trampled underfoot." What does it mean, you are the salt of the earth? The scene from The Chosen, which is that multi-season wonderful series on the ministry of Jesus, in the last episode of the second season, Matthew asked Jesus the question when he's writing and writing down the words for his sermon he's going to deliver. "What do you mean you are salt of the earth?" And Jesus answers him like this: "Salt preserves meat from corruption. It slows its decay. I want my followers to be people who hold back the evil of the world. Salt also enhances the flavor of things. I want my followers to renew the world and be part of its redemption. Salt can be mixed with honey and rubbed on the skin for maladies. I want my people to participate in the healing of the world, not its destruction." To which Matthew has this famous line of saying, "Well, why didn't you just say that? That's more understandable." And then Jesus says to Matthew, "Can you forgive me a little poetry? I need a little bit of imagery here. Leave something to the imagination." Well, for the month of June, I'm going to unpack that statement. What does it mean to be salt of the earth? Spending a Sunday on each of these thoughts, holding back the darkness, being team light, healing, being team healing, team redemption, understanding that Jesus saves us and he also makes us a part of his team. We are team redemption. That's why I have these great players up on the screen today. Reminds us that we're part of a team. Well, what's redemption? Start there. One of our local dairies you can purchase milk in these reusable glass containers, and it costs $2 to get the milk in addition, or to get the container in addition to the milk. When you bring this back, you get your $2 back, or you can get a redemptive, another thing. And redemption, that's one definition of it. We understand in God's term, redemption is him saving us. So he's the one who frees us from sin. He vindicates us. He absolves our sin. He forgives it and forgets it. And so redemption is like an exchange. It's a swapping. You say, I am empty, and Jesus fills us. So we give him our empty lives, which is in essence what they are without Christ, and he redeems us by filling us and giving us purpose and hope. Redeem means to retrieve, regain, recover, get back, reclaim, repossess, have something returned, rescue. So we are part of Team Redemption. And Jesus says that. What does it mean that we're part of his redemption? Well, we get to partake in God's saving grace in action. We get to be a part of that. God made it so that we are participants in the work that God's doing. But before your head swells, like, wow, look at all the things I get to do, I want to tell you a little story about participation. I was about 7 years old, looking around our local Hallmark store for Christmas gifts. You see, Christmas was coming, and my parents had given me $20 to spend on gifts for my siblings. Now, I'm the youngest of four siblings, and my sister is 12 years older, my brother is 10 years older, and my next sister is 8 years older. And so I'm trying to think of what they would like, and I'm seven. I went around the store, and I thought about different things that they might like, and I finally found it. There were three Peanuts figurines, you know, Charlie Brown, Snoopy, those Peanuts guys. And they were on these little things that you could move, and then their arms and legs would move. And I thought, perfect. And they're only $5 each. Perfect. So I purchased Lucy for my oldest sister. That actually kind of fits her. Don't tell her, but it's kind of true. She's kind of like that, a little bit bossy. And then I purchased Linus from my brother, who's kind of, you know, the little brother and a little sleepy and a little shy and a little, you know. And then for my sister Linda, I purchased Snoopy because she was the funnest of my siblings, I thought, to play with. Now, I was pleased with my gifts. My siblings were pleased with their gifts. Even the store wrapped the gifts for them. And I was so happy because I got to participate. Now think about it. I was given the money to buy the gift. I didn't earn the money. It wasn't money that I had been, you know, had to work for. I was just given the gift. And I felt great about it. I got to participate in picking out their Christmas gifts. And I relate that to how we participate with God in this team redemption. God does the redemptive stuff, the saving, the forgiving, the big things. We show up maybe to give our time, our talents, and the things that he gave us actually to encourage another person to experience God's love, which means the abundant life that we find in Christ. Now, the three scriptures that were read today reinforce the idea that we are on a team. Involving us in his redemptive work, that we are team redemption. God created the heavens and the earth, it says in Genesis, and the days of creations are lined out. God always existed, and he spoke creation into being. It says, and God said, let there be light, and it was. And we didn't read all the days of creation, but I want to take notice to the end of that when God created human beings. He says, be fruitful. He says to them, they're made in the image of God. He made them male and female in his image. Silas found a nice truck to play with. And that's what the clicking noise is, and he's enjoying it, so I'm happy. He says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, have dominion. Now, maybe I'm naive, but that statement right there gave me the courage to hike in the backcountry with grizzly bears. Why? Because God gave us dominion over the animals, and so we don't need to be afraid of animals because God gave us dominion. And Chris was not very much convinced about that. she thought that really wasn't true because a hungry bear wouldn't care about the order of God's plan. But all I can say is that it's worked for me so far. In fact, fun story, we went on a whale watching tour in California, and we got on the boat with our kids, and they were, I don't know, sixth grade and fourth grade and second grade. And we got on a boat with all these kids as a school outing, and we started going out of the harbor, and the captain says, I just want to tell you, thanks for joining our tour, but for the last 3 weeks, we haven't seen any whales. But we'll try to find you something good to look at. And to my thoughts, I'm like, well, Lord, you can direct the fish in the ocean. Could you just send some whales our way? And about a minute later, hey, we spotted a whale. We're going to go over there and see this whale. And he followed these whales for about an hour and a half. And that's just a fun story. I'm not Dr. Doolittle. I can't speak to the animals. But I think that's a wonderful story, just that we are under God's care and keeping. He loves us. The words that we read there were subdue and have dominion, words of authority and stewardship. Eugene Peterson translates the intent of these words when he says, prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge. So we're to be responsible for fish in the sea and birds in the air and every living thing that moves on the earth. We're given responsibility to steward the earth. Now, you don't need to be a radical tree hugger, but Christians should care about the environment and care about sustainability and future generations. Jesus calls us to renew the world by participating. The psalmist has similar thoughts, as you heard today. He says, when I look at your heavens, the stars and everything, I wonder, what are human beings that you care about them? And yet, he says, but you've made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You've given them dominion over the works of your hands and have put all things under their feet. Oxen and beasts and birds and fish, whatever passes along the seas. His name is majestic, and God gave us dominion. So humans are not passive participants on the planet. They have a role, a responsibility, a calling even. And shouldn't surprise you that the last thing Jesus says as he ascends into heaven is he gives us a job. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey. And they will be do this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He wants his followers to renew the world and be part of its redemption. That's what it means to be salt. Salt doesn't do any good if it's stuck in the salt shaker, does it? It just sits there. The question that we might raise as you heard that message from Jesus is that salt may lose its saltiness. It doesn't make sense because chemically, salt cannot lose its saltiness. It is sodium chloride, and that would be a chemical miracle for sodium chloride to lose its saltiness. But it does lose its saltiness by becoming so impure, so mixed with other elements, that it loses its function. Losing saltiness is diluting it down. It's losing our distinctiveness, losing a purity of heart. You see, salt does good when you let it out, when you use it to flavor and preserve. It's one of the, in antiquity, it was one of the most valuable commodities. In fact, we went to Salzburg, Austria, which literally means salt mountain. And that community was established because of the salt trade. Became a place of trading and culture. So the question is, how can we be ones to renew the world? What does it mean to be that we can be part of the world's redemption? And it's actually maybe simpler than you think. Corinthians says that the compassion that we've received from God, that he enables us to give to others. So by being a person of compassion, by being someone who receives that from God and giving that to other people in times of grief or sadness, that's a way we help with the world's redemption. Obviously, we can pray when we pray for others, when we pray for situations, when we pray for whatever is going on, that's a way we are part of the world's redemption. We pray for people to meet Christ. We pray for people to be forgiven, to be healed. That's a part of it. One thing I've learned from my wife is, as she's been doing her studies, is the term called a good enough parent. And I love that because I think parents put so much pressure on themselves to try to be, I got to do it just right for my kids. But what she learned in psychology is that if you're a good enough parent, 30% of the time, that's good enough. And you're going to mess up, you're going to, you know, yell, you're going to, you know, hurt feelings. But you can make that up by repairing the rupture. And that's what a good enough parent is. So that your homes, when you have your good enough family, a good enough parent, is that your homes are filled with God's grace and love and mercy because God is there. You know, being a sinner saved by grace, and as Luther said, being someone who tells other people where to find bread, one beggar telling another where to find bread, that's being good enough. And it's also being a person of redemption. To say, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and so are you. That's willing to be salt. Sometimes it may mean speaking into the culture. Now, not many of us are wired to be great at public debate. And I'll admit it, there's some topics when they're brought up, I'd rather just walk out of the room and not engage in that conversation because I know it's just going to be a fight and there's going to be, you know, hurt feelings or people getting upset. But sometimes we have to engage in that, and that's being salt in the world. And there are two verses that have been really important in my life that have really guided that conversation about what does it mean to be salt? What does it mean to be a witness for Christ? And they are these. In fact, I'll put them in on the website because these would be really good verses as we think about being salt to put to memory this month, to really meditate and spend time thinking about them. First Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. I love that. You know, it's not to give our reason for being a Christian with abrasiveness or arguing, but to do it with gentleness and respect and giving the reason for the hope that we have. That's telling your story. It's telling how Jesus worked in your life, how you've been forgiven, how he's helped you through a difficult time. That's sharing the hope within you with gentleness and respect. And then also Colossians 4 is another verse that speaks about being a person of salt. First, it talks about devoting yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and praying for us too, that God could open the door for the message, that they could proclaim it clearly. And then it says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. You see, salt is a beautiful thing. It seasons the conversation. It makes it, brings it back to Christ and his word and his grace and his love. So those things are how we can be redemptive witnesses in the world, part of team redemption. And I wonder, how does that happen? Well, like I said, not many of us are big-time evangelists that speak to large groups of people or have a platform on YouTube or something like that. But it does happen one person at a time. There was a little boy on the ocean. He's probably 12 years old. And it just so happened that something happened that a bunch of starfish were washed up on the shore. And they were just laying there. There are hundreds of them. And the starfish would not survive if they didn't get back in the ocean. They would dry up and not live. And so this little boy is going along. He's 12 years old. He's a good thrower. And he takes one starfish and he throws it back into the ocean. And he takes another one and he throws it back into the ocean. And a man's walking along the beach and he's like, well, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm putting these starfish back in the ocean. And he says, well, there's hundreds of them here that you'll never be able to do it all. He said, well, he picks up another and he says, throws it in the ocean. I sure made a big difference for that one. One person at a time. Team redemption. We renew the world by being in relationship with others. We renew the world by encouraging them to follow Christ as we've experienced Christ, that we encourage another. Because Jesus saves us and he makes us part of his team. We're not just bystanders. We get to be participants. So we can say, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for making us team redemption. You know, we don't do the saving or the redeeming at all. But because we're part of your team, you give us a role to share the love and grace of yourself with this world. Jesus, you are good and hopeful and holy. And we thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for giving us abilities and gifts, personalities that help us be people of light and love. And help us to be salt, salt in this world, seasoning our conversations with your grace and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.